Dr. Rock's Radio Show. Thursday, 8 p.m. on peoplesinternetradio.com. We go to 11.
Well, good evening and a very warm welcome one and all to Dr. Rock's radio show here on peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. We kicked off with the Beastie Boys there, who I like to say are maintaining the myth that we have to fight for our right to party, a myth which is clearly well and truly believed by the people down at the planning department, as we're going to find out hopefully in this evening's show. Followed by Buckcherry, Tight Pants. We're still in seek of new rock and roll songs for Laurie, because I know she likes them. And then there was a second new one for the show, Black Star Riders and Sex, Guns and Gasoline. I don't believe in any of it. And certainly it wouldn't go down at all well with those people at the Open Planet Development in the Open Countryside Department. And I'm joined to help me think about all of this, because I've been very deeply involved in it for the last couple of days or so. I'm joined by Paul Cotty. Hiya, Paul. Sorry, I forgot to press your button. They're very good with me, thank you very much. Better say hi again, I didn't switch you on.
No bother. Hi, Doc, and hi, everybody else out there listening.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for joining me, Paul. It's first time on the show, and you're very welcome, so I'm really looking forward to what sort of bones we can pick out of this, because I think it's a pretty terrifying document. I'll kick off, first of all, because I'm interested in the contractual kind of core that runs through this thing. So I've got four sentences that I've gathered from amongst the 83 pages. And what it says is that the guidelines state unequivocally that One Planet Development's will be defined and controlled by a binding legal agreement, which is reviewed and updated every 5 years. This should be evidenced by a management plan produced by a competent person. The management plan provides the contract between the One Planet developer and the planning authority. So I think that establishes pretty well, doesn't it, Paul, that what we are dealing with is a contract and not a management plan.
Absolutely. It's a contract, and that's the offer of a contract. It's not the actual contract. You're making it is a contract. It's an offer you're making.
Yeah, so are we starting with an offer from them? Because they're setting, obviously, loads and loads and loads of conditions, and it looks like an offer to me, making ours a counter-offer, or is ours actually the offer, our management plan?
The management plan is a contract itself, so it is. Right. And if you make the management plan up and present it to someone, that's a contract that you're offering them. Mm-hmm. Any kind of a plan, business plan, is a contract. Like most things, it's contract.
It's not very often you find it actually stated in the document, is it?
No. You see, and that's where people get confused. Because most people think contracts consist of sitting down and reading the same thing and signing it at the end of it. Well, contract is basically, even down to a simple letter, when you write a letter to a person and all that. Well, so when you're going into what your user are doing there, it's everything's legalese, and it's a pure legalese contract that user, it's an offer, it's a contract first of all, it is a contract, and that's the user offering the contract, and within that contract is the grounds of the contract.
So what would people who are approaching one of these One Planet Development tasks need to understand by the word legalese? And what would they... legalese first. Go for the legalese first.
First of all, if they're getting tied up, like once it's coming into the legalese, first of all, that's stating that it is a contract. Legalese part of it then is... taking away most of your rights. Once legalese gets involved, legalese is mentioned, it's taking away your natural rights.
And how do you know? How do you know when you're encountering this stuff?
Yeah, well, every warden, all the warden. Well, first of all, you know you're encountering it because everything is a contract. Once you realise everything but on paper, sent between people, is a contract. And whether it be a business plan, an idea of a business plan, it's still some form of a contract. Now, if I was, me and you were sending plans between us and talking about this within ourselves, we are having a contract with personally. If I was coming from a government body, now it's becoming legal. And when it becomes legal, that's where your rights start coming into it then.
Yeah. So our basically, when we hand lots and lots of data over to a government body, we're handing it from our own private realm dealing with each other into some kind of public realm in which it becomes fundamentally different.
Absolutely. Now it's becoming a legal contract, not a so-called, what me and you'd have, a private contract.
Yeah.
Legal contract, and legal contracts bring acts, legislations, which is a set of rules how to live. In other words, they're telling you how to live after that.
And they do actually say that, they state that exactly. They say that the One Planet Development Policy is not simply a description of an establishment or development. It is a description of a way of life. They actually state that in there as well. They're very clear. How it seems to me to be a bit strange to find something like a planning authority apparently defining and contracting with people to determine their actual way of living. Does it not seem strange to you?
Well, absolutely. No, first of all, look, if you're going to enter into a piece of property and choose a different way of living, whether it be, say, we call it off the grid, yeah?
Yeah.
And self-sufficient and stuff like that. The whole idea of that is, if you're going to work within a structure and let the local council authorities know, if you want to play on that side of the game, you present to them what way you want to live. And that's the way you should be working on. But what they do then is they send back a letter or what would be is a contract, but it's all guidelines of the way they're going to tell you to live. And that's where they bring in the legalese words. Everything that they write back to you, the words are legalese. They have two meanings. When you write off to them, you have one understanding of what you're writing. When they're writing back to you, they're writing you offer of a contract, but within the offer of they're using legalese words that take away all your rights and butcher under their control. And that's why they'd be coming out with management of water, foods, and stuff like that, especially within the management of water and food production. Because it's control system then.
Mm.
And once you bring in the legalese end of it, that gives them that control over that then as well.
Okay, look, let's give people a concrete example, can we? We were chatting about this earlier on, and as a result of talking to you, I had a look for the word person in this particular document, and it doesn't actually occur at all. In the beginning, right at the beginning of the document, individuals are referred to as inhabitants. A little further in, they become occupants. And I haven't done word counts on these, but after that, I think they're exclusively called residents. So is there any difference between these words, you know?
Well, first of all, what's someone that inhabitants? Would an animal inhabit it somewhere? Or would it be a resident? What's a resident? Are you from the land, living on the land, or are you there temporary?
Okay.
If I was a resident of somewhere, it's not mine, is it?
Okay.
You're into the legalese system there, you see. Yeah, you're a resident somewhere. It's not yours, and you can be moved on any time.
And you haven't got
the same ground, the same rights.
Okay, so we think that the word resident means that we're living somewhere, and they think that the word when they write the word resident, they mean that we can be moved on at any time.
Yeah, it's giving you less rights.
Okay, so that's a classic example.
It'd be taking away your natural rights and stuff like that.
Just with the use of a word?
Just with the use of the word. It's the same as you had it came across the word person and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, well, we'll get to person in a minute because I think we need to deal with that on this subject. But what about occupants?
Well, the occupant is something as well that... occupying somewhere.
Like
it's not the same.
Is it like as in a foreign army that carry on.
Yeah, go on, like a foreign army, occupying.
Yeah, is it like that?
Yeah. No, you have it, occupying.
Okay.
So is it really yours?
Once again, is it really yours? So once again, we think by occupier... And that's, of course, why they use the word owner-occupier, isn't it? To tell you that there is a difference between them.
Well, if an army's occupying somewhere, are they on home ground?
No. Very good question. Yeah. So, resident means it's not ours. Occupant means that we're not actually at home. Inhabitants I've always taken to be actually a relatively innocent word, referring to people who are actually on a landmass or something. Am I right in that?
Well, I haven't really gone into the inhabitants too much, but as it comes up now, the meaningful I'd get from it is inhabiting the land. Someone that's walking the land would be inhabiting it.
Yeah, which is why I think that word only appears once, and the word occupants and the word residents appear in almost all the other places.
Exactly. So within the first part, you're the inhabitants, which you would be intending to be as an inhabitant going in there, walking the land on that, but after that then they take that all away from you.
Yeah.
When they start bringing in the occupants and stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of overrides the use of the innocent words, because, I mean, one of the things that I found interesting was that there is only one occurrence of the word contract in the entire document, and that's the one that points out to you that the management plan is a contract. You can therefore legitimately replace management plan wherever it turns up with the word contract, and you will find one, like I say, one reference to contract and 90 references to the management plan.
Go on.
So one of my recommendations to people would be to scrub out the words management plan whenever they're looking at these things, or at least think in their mind contract, not management plan.
Absolutely. First of all, think contract. Then think legalese. So the words that if you're writing off to them or they're writing to you, have an understanding of the words you're writing.
Right.
Because the words are deceiving. It's just in the box there as well. Like if you be an inhabitant, would be walking the land. If you are, what was that other word you used there earlier on? It'd be
I used it, inhabitants, occupants and residents.
Occupants. You could be an occupant inhabiting the land. So you're only there walking, isn't it? You could be there walking temporary.
Okay.
Whereas I intend to make it my dwelling is a bit different.
Yes.
And that's what I'd be walking on there is... I intend to make it a dwelling, a family dwelling, or wherever it may be.
And that is because, once again, a dwelling is not the same thing as a home. We might think it is, but a home is another iffy word, isn't it? Whereas dwelling is a description of where an inhabitant dwells.
Absolutely. And that could be from man, rabbits, anything. They all dwell somewhere.
Yeah. We've got a question in the chat box from Rich. He's saying, can you refuse any contract as it's all legalese? And we don't understand that. That's actually true, Rich. And one of the reasons why we're going into this particular subject tonight is because most people know, do they not, Cotty, that you can't do anything without permissions. And therefore, there are currently in Wales, I think, 10 of these One Planet development things going through, and all of the people who are doing that are entering into this system, possibly not entirely aware of the contractual nature of it, although actually I must admit it is made pretty clear in the guidance notes if you read them. So under these circumstances, we will get round to refusing the contract later, won't we, Cotty? We'll talk about what we might do about it when we've finished examining the actual thing. So, given effectively what's going on here is that people are being given a massive amount of detail, which we don't have time to go into tonight, and they're being required to present a management plan, which is a contract. So most of these people, as well as everything else that they're taking on, are actually about to write what is probably their first serious contract. So what do you think people, as well as getting themselves an understanding of legalese, which is a whole vocabulary and a challenge in itself, what do you think people most need to know about contracts if they're going to undertake this sort of thing?
It's all renegotiable. It's all a contract. So when you get an understanding, first of all, it's a contract. An understanding of what a contract is. And understand that it can be renegotiated. So when you learn the words and understand the meaning of the words, you can change the words into a more reasonable understanding that keeps the rights with you, keeps the power with you. Just try to think of a definition of that. It would be like the word dwelling instead of a home or premises or a community, compounds or anything like that. Mm. The word dwelling would have a stronger standing at the end of the day. You can protect your dwelling, you have rights to a dwelling. Every human has a right to a dwelling, to live in their dwelling. Whereas homes and all that can be taken, or investment, their property, corporated things. That's going into your legalese and stuff like that.
So that's actually a pretty major challenge, isn't it? Because you can't just go and grab a dictionary to work this stuff out. If you're really going to have to redefine your vocabulary to respond. I mean, it's funny, for me, reading through that document, as you can see from all the highlights and stuff I put in it, there's a whole load of words that really, really jump out at you. Words like demand and require, and you need to know what the words mean in the guidelines, but you need to know even more when you're writing the contract, when you're writing your management plan.
Yeah, absolutely, because if I was writing back and I was using words that they used, as in like if it was the person or back to community and stuff, it's taken away. You haven't got an understanding of it. There's words there. When you start mentioning the people will look after the community, or each person will be responsible for what his own actions are, and looking after certain areas. That there is basically taking away rights from you, and it's putting you under obligations as well. Also, it's putting you under obligations.
And once again,
that's contract words, person itself, the contract of person means you have no rights. You haven't got your natural rights. The only rights you would have, if any, would be under legislations and acts.
So it's interesting, isn't it, that they've chosen... So what we're saying is that a person is a different thing from a man, from a flesh and blood man. I find it interesting that whereas the word person is used more or less exclusively for an individual in legislation, it's not really used in this document at all.
No, but it's got other wording in there which would refer back to the contract.
Yeah.
More so than what the individuals are trying to achieve themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it needs. The difference is, individually, if you're a self-individual, and you go into here somewhere trying to better your life and be more in control of your life, well, then you're an individual, either man or woman. If within, when you start writing letters and you become anything beyond the man or woman, persons, couple, people, anything that, like, you have used legalese and that is a contract alone to use them words.
Wow.
If anybody has an understanding of what a straw man is, or the corporated, what the corporated business registered person is, man, woman, they should have an understanding what we're on about here. But anybody that hasn't got an understanding of certain things, the simple way of putting it is, you're either a man or a woman, and if you're talking about yourself to each other, you talk about the man or a woman. If you use words outside of that, it's starting to use words that you haven't really got an understanding of. We've got we perceive we know what they are. But them words are legalese contract words themselves, which diminish your rights. A lot of people these days, say for instance, are understanding the word understand. That's most one of the popular ones out there that people are all getting the proper definition of it. Within the legal system, everybody knows now it means to stand under. Stand under their rights. Most of us are getting that. Well, that is the exact same way to change man and woman into other words. Yeah. You're putting yourself into a position of standing under their laws then and rights and stuff.
Yeah. So understand is to basically acknowledge somebody's power, acknowledge the power over you of the individual that you are claiming to understand.
Absolutely. And you've contracted them with them and that's your first point of contract, and everything they say after that, if they say sit, because you just contract them.
Yeah, it's already too late.
Yeah, so to use words outside man and woman and stuff like that, as in persons and stuff, you've just contracted. You've told them you're a person, so it's basically standing under the legislations and acts. To be using the legal name.
Yeah. The thing that made me most understand that, I think, was when I was told that an individual, a man or a woman, can't deal with a corporation, that only a corporation can deal with a corporation. And the person can pretty closely be described as like a corporate version of us, can't it? The version of us that can deal with planning departments and all of that.
Yeah. Look, when you're going into a contract, first of all, contracts on paper are legalese straight away. Once you're going into that, you use the name that you were given.
Yeah.
You use the name in that. And you are the person then. Because contracts are all made upon the person, because man or woman don't make contracts, and if they do, we shake hands, and spit in the hand, shake hands, good luck, and we'll meet you later and pay you that money. Yeah. We wouldn't go writing a load of pages with rules and regulations. If I owed you £10, I'd say I'll give you next Saturday. We're not going to write 20 pages of how I'm going to pay you. Is it going to be loose change? What time? What penalties are you going to get if I didn't give you the way I said I was going to pay you and on the time and the date? And maybe inside that I might tell you, well, I'm going to give you on a Saturday. It'll be nice this weekend. It's going to be nice and sunny. I'm going to come over to you. Well, if it was raining that day and I was writing a contract, I broke the contract.
Yeah.
But yeah. My man or woman... We spare hands, we make a deal end of. When you're writing papers and all that, between each people, straight away, it's legalese. Mm-hmm. And the man or woman entering into that legalese then, you have to understand the wording that you used beforehand has now changed. Just like the man and woman has changed into a person, them words have also changed.
Yeah.
The word what you normally use writing to people and you thought you have an understanding of, now they've changed over.
So effectively, they don't have to mention the person. A, they don't have to mention the person because all of this paperwork will be addressed to them, apparently, anyway. And B, because by actually engaging with this process, you are showing that you are a person, because real men and women can't engage.
No. Real men and women can't engage. We're a corporate business.
Nick's put in the chat box, he's pointed out that hotels have residents, which I think is a very nice illustration. Thanks, Nick. And thanks for the tunes earlier on, by the way, mate. Great show. And an occupant can be legal or illegal, but probably not lawful.
And that's a key word there, lawful.
Yeah.
Is everything, if something's not lawful, well, it comes under the legalese system.
Yeah.
So, and that's a way of looking at it as well. When you, most of us, say within that community group, they probably have a perspective of doing good, doing what they're doing, and being lawful. And, you know what I mean, setting up something and being lawful about it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they're going into legalese. And when legalese now, everything, their perspective of it is not what it is. As I said, the word is completely different now.
Yeah. So so lawful is simple because it's not causing harm, loss or damage or using mischief in your contracts, interestingly. Whereas legal or illegal is everything else.
It means you have to have permission for it.
Okay, yeah.
That's the difference. When it comes to legal, you need permission.
Yeah.
With permission, rules, regulations.
And in this particular case, the permissions you're seeking are extensive, and therefore so are the rules and regulations and the monitoring to ensure that you fulfil your contractual obligations.
Absolutely. If you were doing a lawful, for instance, right, if me and you decided, right, we're lawful people, there's a nice big lump of land down the road, how about we go down and live our own life and get our own water and look after ourselves? Bother nobody, harm nobody, end up, go on, get on with our own lives. That's being lawful. We go in and produce our own water, our food, everything, we feed ourselves. That's lawful. Now, if I write off and ask anybody permission, or even tell them what I intend to do, now I'm going into legalese. They will write a proposal back to me, and they might mention the water and the food. But within that proposal will be, we're going to monitor your food, we're going to monitor your water. We control your water, we control this, we control that. Where originally I just went in there to set up a life for myself and get on with life, be in control of my own water, my own growing of food and everything else. Harm nobody. All of a sudden, somebody else is telling you what you can grow, when you can grow it, how much you can grow, and what you can do with it. That's the difference going into the legalese.
Yeah. And it's such an easy transition to make, isn't it?
Absolutely. And more so when you don't read into it, you can say, you're given the control of everything you do within what you're trying to set up as a new life, in control of it. When you start writing these presentations or even writing a structure of what I'm going to do, a plan to anybody, look, I'm going to go in here and grow my own veg and so on. They write back, well, what exactly are you going to grow in there? What are you area you're going to be growing them? Straight away, that's them asking you, is that not telling you what to do? You know, what right have they got to do asking you, telling you where you're going to grow it in the first place?
Well, this is the question, isn't it? This is another important point, I think, is that what we're dealing with here is, let's just call it a very demanding conditional offer, in as far as they're making that you have to fulfil a load of conditions in your offer, otherwise they just won't deal with you. They seem to have some conviction that they have the authority to do that, to actually enforce a whole load of preconditions on people who are just wanting to live on the land. Where, is that authority real? And if it is, where does it come from?
Well, the authority is real, if you accept it to be real. You have to accept their authority to be real, because, as I said, if I bought a bit of land and I want to go off and do my own thing, I would go off and do whatever I want to do. If I ask someone for permission, or someone tells me, you can't do this and you can't do that, and I even question the reason why, well then, I've accepted their authority. Mm. But within the structure of entering into contracts, if you entering in a contract yourself willingly, knowing it's a contract, it can be done as well. You can it's what you do there is understand the words, get a good understanding of them. One day you make it simple of what you want to do with this bit of land, if you want to start getting into this contract with your local council. Keep it very simple, exactly what you want to do. If I want to grow spuds, I'm going to tell them, right, I'm going to take on this bit of land, I'm going to produce my own spuds, carrots or food, but I'm going to produce my own food from the ground. I'm going to produce more food from trees. I'm also going to use the natural water coming from the earth. Now, I don't need to tell them after that, do we?
Ideally, no. Of course, in this particular case, you would have to... Sure. I mean, I can see that. In this particular case, that would mean that you would presumably have to arrive on a patch of land, or get to own a piece of land, or however it is, not ask for any of the permissions, and then deal with whoever it was that came a knocking, because they certainly would.
Yeah, but even if, that's what I'm saying, even if someone wants to go the other way and feels that he have to write off and let the local authorities know, all you do is write. It's simple. Tell them, I'm going to get a bit of land, or I've taken on a bit of land. I plan to grow my own, planning having my own food from the earth, my own food from the trees, and my own water from the earth. And if I'm going to have electric, I'm going to be producing, or I'm going to have my own. Whether it be electric, producing your own electric, but just try and keep it out of their structure. I'm trying to get it the right way here.
I know what you mean. Yeah, what you're doing is you're using the words that as closely as possible describe the things that you're talking about.
Trees
we can point to, food we eat and it keeps us alive. There's not much confusion about what those words
mean.
Exactly,
but I'm saying food from the earth, because most food comes from the earth, so I'm telling them, when I say food from the trees, in other words, apple trees and stuff like that. But I'm not saying the words apples and giving them names. It's food, first of all. Yeah. Now, when you tell them that, they're going to write back to you with an offer of a contract, with an offer then, or their proposal. In other words, if your water is management, if the water is managed, and you have a certain productive on your land and trees, when they're using certain productives and management, well, that's them starting to look at the control end of what you're actually trying to achieve.
So what's round two then in defending? Well, what do you do with this offer from them?
Well, ask them, what did he mean by control? What did he mean by managed?
Yep.
What do you mean by managing my production, my food that I create from the earth. What do you mean by this? Ask them the question at the beginning. If not, it's going to be acquiescence.
Yeah.
Acquiescence will be accepted. And further on down the line, now you're saying, I didn't know I could ask them this, didn't know this. You should have asked at the time.
Acquiescence is pretty much the same as signing on the dotted line, then.
Well, acquiescence, yeah. Your silence is accepted. So it's back to, like, as we were saying there, the contract. What you're doing there is a contract. You've eight elements within a contract, as in how you're going to form the contract and stuff. You also have the eighth element of contract, which is let he be deceived, be deceived. And that's where acquiescence comes into it, very deeply. Because if they're deceiving you from any, within their words of, I want to grow my own food, I want to pick my own food, I want to get my own water from the ground, if they've changed them into other warden and taken them rights away from me, if I don't ask about it then, it's accepted.
Okay.
I've accepted what they've proposed to me.
So this is quite interesting, isn't it? Because it means that rather than starting from an extremely complicated position where you've got to fit yourself into all sorts of requirements that are being placed on you by somebody else, you are actually trying to describe as accurately as possible what it is you're trying to do, and they've got to somehow drive it from that position up to the complexity they require, if the game goes that way.
Absolutely, and that's where you get one page, two page, three page, and all the way up to these hundreds of pages full of gobbledygook. Stuff that you do not understand. You read it, you think you've an understanding. The only thing you would have an understanding is certain words that, because of, yes, I'm trying to have a community, I'm trying to grow food, we let you grow this. You'll understand certain proposals that you put forward. But within the rest of that, it's twisted to take away the proposal you put forward. It's to give you an illusion of what you proposed. But within that, it's taking away all the rights of what you proposed into them controlling what you're going to do.
So what they're going to do at that point, well, they did this, you see, there's I've got Synchro reading just a short article later on about some people who actually put in, like I say, a 280-page management plan. And what they got from their planning department was a request for more information, which I find absolutely astonishing, which they did. They gave them 30 pages more information. So it ended up being 310 pages of stuff. And I guess what you'd do then is you get this, you would get a list of questions back. And you would, at that stage, be querying the definitions of almost every single word they're using.
Absolutely.
Hmm. How do you think they'd respond to that? You know, because these guys believe they're in control. If you're actually on the land already, but I'd like to back up what you were saying as well, because some friends of ours did actually buy a patch of land on a hillside, bit of clear fell. They turned up with a load of pigs. And they wrote to the council and they basically said, hey, we're here, we've got a load of pigs, we've got a load of ducks, we've got a load of geese, we're building a cabin. And they're still there 15 years later. I think the animals help, but because there's apparently an agricultural exception. But the principle's the same, is it not?
No, because they just says, we're building a cabin, we got pigs, and that's it. They didn't put a plan forward, so it wasn't a business.
Right.
And within business and contracts, rules and regulations. No. They just says, we're going here, we're going to live here, and we're building a shelter for the pigs.
Yeah. You see, there's another thing, is this particular policy requires there to be a business. It won't, under any circumstances, let you move into the open countryside away from established settlements unless you're going to run a business. It states that in two or three different ways throughout the document as well. So once again, that's kind of pulling you into the legalese world because you're required to go into trade in order to pull this stunt off.
Yeah, but again, look, it's what we... Once you get an understanding of what the warden's all about, put a bit of time into it. You just have to remember, first of all, most important, it is a contract. And when you get an understanding of that, and an understanding of the wardens, it's a ward game. When you get an understanding of the warden, when they make you a counteroffer, when they write back to you, they're making you a counteroffer of what you propose to them.
Yeah.
Only for leave a lot of rules, regulations in it. It's up to you to read and decipher what the heck them rules and regulations are. Then you write back to them and you say, right, I'll accept under this, and that, but I don't agree to this. Or what do you mean by that? Keep going, like, you need to counter-offer. If they offer, make an offer back. Question them what you mean to that. And don't be scared to, if they try to say because of such an act or a legislation, don't be shy. Ask them, okay, well, I don't really have an understanding of what you mean by that act or legislation, so could you document and verify that to me? You know, so you're putting back on them to be answering these questions. It's a case of, why can't I do this? Ask them, like, that's what you're basically, why can't I? Why not?
Yeah.
Not you telling them. It's you ask them, why not? Why?
Yeah. So, if you were asking them about the understanding legislation and requesting basically that they explain something that you don't understand, what would you expect to get back by way of verification of such a claim on their part?
Well, it should be something of proof. It should be lawful. What they're doing should be lawful, and they should be writing where it is lawful. Where you have a simple understanding that it's lawful, they should be proving to you where it's lawful that you cannot do wherever it is at a time. Grow 2 ton of spuds. or where I have to answer to you for my water production. In other words, show me in law where it says this. And when I mean law, I mean lawful. Show me where it's lawful or unlawful. It's taking it out of the legalese. You're questioning them on it. You're nearly challenging. Or you're disregarding, I'd say more as. You're disregarding the legalese. And asking them, prove this. Show me in law where I, a man, can't dig up a hole in my background and look for food or water. Or when I do find water, that you have to come in here and control that water. Or yous are telling me I can only produce a certain amount of water for my animals, my food, but I can't give this water to my neighbours if they have none. You see, that's what the regulations and all that means. When they bring in control method, it's all back to what is control? The only control you should have is when you turn your water on and off. Your control will be turned on and off. Not somebody else away offside control and telling you what you can and what you can't. When you can, when you can't. Control management. Mm-hmm. Well, when you see them putting control management into place, question it. What's management? So it's someone above you that's going to control what you're doing within your own system or what within your own life.
Yeah. It's normally fairly well concealed, in my opinion, this kind of jive, but this is such a maniac document that it is all and entirely about control. When you look at it, it's quite clear that none of it is about facilitating what it is that people want to do in the countryside.
Well, from you sent it on to me earlier on. As I said to you earlier, I had a quick glance over it because of due to other things during the day, and straight away it read FEMA camp to me.
Yeah.
or the way the councils are operating in England now, or Wales, or any of that, is when you get a council house, you can't smoke in the house. You can't do this. Your grass has to be a certain height. You can't collect your own rainwater. You can't go digging up out the back and planting spuds because they probably have a tarmac or concrete to make sure of all this. You probably wouldn't even have enough ground in the first place the way they're operating. You can't have a car in your driveway if it has no tax. If you haven't paid any parking fines or this, that, the other, you're going to be thrown out. That's pure controlled system. Well, if you're setting up at your own community, trying to get out of the grid, and all of a sudden they're butting in, either party has put in rules and regulations, all of a sudden that's a control mechanism by someone.
Yeah. And that's really what it looks like. This one actually looks like a control mechanism, because when you think about it, you don't have to think about it at all, when you look at the actual document about the control, because it's quite clear that's what's going on. But it's recommended that you have you take pre-application advice from your planning department, who will charge you for that. You get charged for all of the planning permissions you go for. You will end up paying council. They actually specify in the contract that you need to be able to pay your council tax on all the domiciles or dwellings that are the houses that are there. You need to be able to pay business rates, and the thing is that when there's a lot of encouragement, in fact you'd have to do a bit of food processing, so you'd have to be thinking about turning milk into cheese or something like that, and they're encouraging you to sell all of your produce to local places so that you can reduce their carbon footprint as well. As we were talking about earlier, as soon as you start talking about processing food and selling it to people, you're suddenly involved with the Department of the Environment and the Department of Public Protection and the Health and Safety Executive and the Dairy Inspectorate, all of whom will be wanting to lay their sets of rules on you and their offers of contract, will they not?
Absolutely. Look, as soon as you start telling them what you're going to produce and all that, the first thing they're going to start doing is telling you that if it's milk, first of all, your cow, it's going to have its injections, its vaccinations and everything else. If not, it's not safe milk. When you get the milk out and stuff then, the milk is controlled. It has to be skimmed. You can't sell milk. What comes from the cow is milk. You can't sell milk. You have to sell pasteurised milk, low-fat milk. In other words, it has to go through a system again of chemicals. It's controlling it then, you see. And the same with the food going into the market, your apples and pears. Have they been sprayed? How do I know they haven't got a blight? We can't let you sell them if they haven't gone through regulations, food standards. You see, you go into all the food standards and their regulations then. That's what one has to be careful about with the food production and all that. And then once you start using the word, certain words within that food, one might think, well, organic food. Well, even with organic food, it has to be some sort of control mechanism over it. Organic, the word organic is contract. Someone has a patent or patent or whatever you call it somewhere. So it's contract. It's bringing it into that contract straight away.
Yeah.
So that's where it can close you down on organic, unless you've registered it as organic.
Yeah.
And even when you're registered as organic, well, I'm sure they'll be coming with regulations and stuff like that as well. What is organic?
organic is the word they invented when they started poisoning the food chain, mate.
Absolutely. Whereas it used to be just food.
Yeah, it used to be just food, like we say. Another classic example of
milk was milk, bread was bread.
Yeah.
And so forth. It wasn't skimmed, extra, dis, idiota.
Yeah. Another quick lesson in the legalese there.
Even within the food production and all that, one must be careful of, again, once they tell you of controlled, food must be controlled, production must be controlled, or whatever, straight away they'll try to take over what you're growing, how you grow it, and what you can do with it.
This is not only itself an entire instrument of control and money making, but it's also a kind of gateway to all sorts of other systems of control and monitoring that you're going to encounter as you try further to develop the thing. It does suggest to me that my instinct was one of complete horror at the thought of actually engaging with such a system. I just don't think I could do it.
Well, here's a thing that people can do, right? If people, if anyone, man or woman that's listening in and they don't have too much of an understanding of what we're saying here, or they do have a small understanding, look into council houses, council regulations. Look into the regulations that's within that the council are setting upon the communities and stuff like that. On top of that, don't forget, when you're looking into the rules and regulations and that, also look at the charges, the taxes, the as in the water meters and bedroom tax and all them kind of stuff that generate through the councils, yeah? Now you're writing off to the councils, making a proposal of setting up some sort of life, business and everything else. Well, all them rules and regulations that they are putting upon the housing estates and business around them, as in collecting from property tax, if you've got a business, as you said, there's a business as well that comes with it. Well, within business, then you'd have the ground rental and stuff like that, isn't it? Public liability. If anybody's going to be coming on, a business also must have insurance and stuff. How big is the insurance going to be? Have you got a license to operate that machine there? If you're going to be using machinery.
Yeah.
And the chemicals. So look into the structure of what the council are pushing upon people. Now, when you write off to them, all their structure that they have, or their rules and regulations, is going to be within that contract that they're sending back to you. It's just the way they word it. But that's what's going to be within that. It's the control mechanism. You need to read into it, have an understanding of it, that it's an offer of a contract, and that it's actually a control mechanism. Question them back on it, and ask them to document and verify these things.
Yeah.
Man and woman live a lawful life. The natural way, natural life. Natural law, natural life. Food from the earth, food from trees, water from the ground, water from the stream, whichever. And after that, it's going to be a structure that was built. And that's where all the legalese and everything else. And then after that, it's controlled. So you need to, within your offer, you need to be bringing it back to as natural as the day you went in there to set that new life up, if that's what you want to be putting it into.
Yeah, it occurs to me that they don't use the word off-grid in this document either, because you're a long way from off-grid if you're going to be dealing with all of this sort of nonsense.
You see, there as well, I wouldn't be saying I want to live off-grid neither.
No.
Because off-grid is a legal structure, because I want to live. Yeah. What the heck is living off-grid?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's true, isn't it?
There's somebody saying that you're going to live on the grid or off the grid. Jesus, I don't really know. I was just planning on living.
It's another useful guideline, isn't it, that you if you add one word to an original word, then you somehow devalue that original word. So so live is one thing, whereas I don't know, yeah, low impact living, sustainable living, all of that is something different because you've added this other word to it, which qualifies the meaning.
Yeah, like everything out there apart from the man or woman just live. A tree grows up in the woods and lives. It doesn't say it doesn't see itself as part of the woods. It just sees itself as there, grown, doing what it should do in life. I have dogs there. I let them out this morning. I have fun with them. They're running around. They're doing what they do naturally in life. If I start training them up to do specific things, jump backwards and jump through hoops, well, they're not natural things that a dog would do. All right, it's nice as in when you're doing it for fun and that, but it's a control mechanism then. Jump through the hoop, do this, do that. Now you're starting to control that natural things that dogs should do. You're taking away natural, you know what I mean? You're putting in control then.
Instead of just enjoying the dog for what it is and what it can do.
Yeah.
And what it wants to do. What it wants to do, yeah.
Absolutely.
Dell's put in the chat box there, he's put, does Cotty lack the capacity to lawfully contract? What genius, he said. And I think somebody else, it might have been Dell again, somebody put in here that organic is actually a registered trademark. Yeah, that was Dell as well. Organic is a registered trademark and it's licensed.
Absolutely. So it's back to someone come up with that word, patent it, patent it, license it. It's a trademark. Now you just have to pay for it. And if I start growing any type of food and say, oh, this is organic, now I'm using a word that does not belong to me, well, somebody's going to be looking for their revenue off that.
So there's another thing, isn't it? Words that we use all the time that are in fact registered trademarks are really quite common. I was surprised to find recently that heroin's a registered trademark to Bayer.
Absolutely. Look, everything's registered trademark. Just when you talk about grass, weed, pot, that's all registered trademark. Now, if you're using a registered trademark, organic, yeah? I'm walking down the street, you've got a stall full of organic food, you're selling it away, good-o. I walk by you, I've got that word patent, licensed, registered, my word, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm walking by you, I see all you doing well and everything else, I walk over, I tell you, thanks. I take the money out and say, right, nice job, on your way. You're going to look at me and think, what the heck is this little bit? Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll ring the guards and I'll come up. If you start questioning me or being threatening, obviously you would be thinking I'm off my head, I'll settle the matter very easy for you. I'll ring the guards. They'll come up. You'll tell me it's your stall. Or you'll say, oh, that's my stall, they're my food, I'm selling this all day. I'll take out my licensee. Hang on. There you go. Organic. I've got a license. That word's mine, organic. So obviously this stuff must be belong to me. You're committing fraud, aren't you?
Wow.
Like, well, what's this man doing here? He's selling my goods.
Yeah. So it's all in the words, isn't it? The words. And we think we use them all the time, but they are really doing for us.
Absolutely. Hey, look, it's back to why call it organic? Why put a name on it? If it wasn't, the only name it should have, like, say, a carrot. Now, even at that, a carrot would be a registered name again. Your spuds, potatoes, they're all registered names. Now, if you're dealing with councils and stuff like that, I know you. It's back to the reason why I said in the beginning, if I was moving on to a bit of land, I'd say I'm going to grow food from the ground, or I'm going to produce food from the ground, or me and the elements is going to produce food to the ground to be mopazoids. Me and the soil is going to produce the food. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to draw water from the natural earth. I'm going to pick. I'm going to get my providing of food from trees and bushes, from what grows around me, what's natural. If you start using the names, even apples, oranges, and all that kind of stuff, who owns that them names? Did you come up with that name? You see, it's very tricky. But to say, if I was selling you an apple or an orange, and Vin used a great analogy before, this for sale, or like this, that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This for offer, this for sale, this for trade, this for trade would be even, bartering, this for bartering would be even better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what's within that bartering? Man's loud barter, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, whether you want to give me lumps of bloody steel that I can spend in the shop, or you want to give me something that I haven't got, like a nice, fresh, homemade blueberry pie for whatever I have in the basket that I just grown, happy days. Yeah. Maybe we haven't used words that belong to somebody else.
Yeah. Vin once turned up in one of my dreams and he said, "Hey, Doc," he said, "it's all this, that and things," he said.
Yeah. This, that and things.
This, that and things, yeah. I'll tell you what, shall we play a bit of music?
Yeah, go for it. I'll have a little sup of coffee, thanks.
Brilliant. Dell's put in the chat box, I see, he's put council, local authority, regulatory body, licensing authority, local elective, road tax office, parking fines office. Are we missing the proliferation of this assumed authority? I think we probably are. So,
absolutely. And then when you bring that into something within what we're talking about, you've got all the agriculture end the things, then the machinery, the tools, and have you been trained to do it? The insurance on this, the insurance on that, the license to use this, that.
Mm. Yeah, it's not the way to go, is it? I think, as the chemical brothers say, they should come with us. What do you reckon? Here it is. Come with us from the Chemical Brothers. You're listening to Dr. Rock and Paul Cotty chatting about contracts and the One Planet Development Policy loosely, and we'll be back with you in 6 or 7 minutes. Like I say, here's the Chemical Brothers for you. Faithless there with Crazy English Summer, and before that, the Chemical Brothers. Come with us. We're coming back. Do right. Welcome back, Paul. You got yourself a cup of tea?
Babushka's overstaying with me at the moment. That's off and on the site.
Excellent. Hi there, Babs. How you doing, mate? it seems to me that one of the biggest challenges we were talking about before the break is this business of coming to grips with the words, with the legalese, with the fact that words don't necessarily mean what we might think they might mean. Now, it seems to me that it's actually extremely difficult to get a handle on that. Because there aren't really any places where you can go and just find out, are there?
As in,
which words are safe and which words aren't, what the different words are. I mean, what sources do you use?
Well, I like to look at the etymology of the word, the origins and the existence of the word. Because most people, what they do is look for the definition. How many definitions has it got? Do you know what I mean? Some words have different definitions.
They do. Sometimes they've got a lot.
Multiple definitions. Mm. You know, so a good place is look for what did the word originally mean? It'd be like the W-O-R-D, word. What is the meaning of word? Where did that originate from? First came man, then came word, sound. Anything that came, the atom that came from the man's mouth was even like word, sound. But word can be manipulated so many ways these days, written when it's put into a sentence. So it's the same thing with everything else. As we explained there, say, the word understand. Legalese. Stand under.
It's funny that they're written into a sentence, isn't it?
Absolutely, you see. When it goes into sentences and all that, it's a different definition. It's a bit... languages can be a lot like that as well. Like when you look at some natural languages outside the English, as in the old Gaelic, for instance, or some of the European languages, and Russian, yeah. the same word, because there was very few words, the same word could be used, could have different explanations. It depends on where it is on the sentence and what the sentence is about. So that's why they'd have less wording within their dictionaries and that, because it's where the word went.
Oh, if it means something...
Where it was in the sentence, the words before it and after it can absolutely change it into something different.
Yeah, so you don't need so many meanings, you don't need so many words, because each word can mean different things depending on where it is.
Absolutely.
Which is as true of English, actually. Where you put the words is quite important.
Yeah, and then again with the English, you see what people have to do, look upon English. The English language and the English words have changed from a couple of hundred years ago. The wording today and the spelling and the stuff like that, the wording is a structure of contract. And that's what I'm saying about looking into words so much, because the wording in English is contract language. It's a language, when contract was formed, a language was formed with it. They came up with a language, and it's a contract language.
Contract, it's another interesting word, isn't it?
Well, you're catching on fast, aren't you? So, you know, so it is important. Look, as we said earlier on, first of all, everything is a contract. So when you're making a proposal to anybody, councils or anything, a proposal plan, well, a plan, it's just like business plans and everything. A proposal and a plan is all business. You're doing business once you're going into that. That's the end of it. It's business. Now you're in legal structure. Right, you've got the concept of that. The concept you need to have and understand after that is the words are legalese words with different definitions. And that's what one must look at after that.
It's quite hard though, isn't it? Because if you were, say, just to take, you know, you could take something much smaller than what we're dealing with here, the OPD guidelines, but if you were to take just, say, the first 10 pages of that, which is where they've really got it packed in, you'd have to find some way of reliably locating the other meanings for all of those words, which is extremely difficult to do in my experience from published sources. I mean, I've been listening to people's internet radio and its predecessors for 5 years, so I've picked up a lot of it. But, you know, it's nearly all come bit by bit from people like yourself and Vin and all the rest of it. And some things you hear a bit more often than others, but, you know, like the word you, I was surprised to hear Robert Sproul saying you is another name. It's not...
Well, is there not an animal out there called a you as well?
There is, yeah, and a tree.
Yeah, and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So one must look at the definition of words. I'd look at the etymology and then look at definition. When you see the different definitions, is where it is upon a sentence. If there's certain books out there for legalese words, I don't know any offhand myself. I'm sure someone can throw it into the box.
I'd love to find one. Actually, anybody in the chat box who can come up with one or two,
you know, I mean, it'll probably give someone a simple understanding or a good basis to start off with.
The thing is, what it does is it changes the way you read documents, doesn't it? Because suddenly words that were just normal, like I say, like require and person, they just suddenly jump out. They suddenly jump out at you. And I think folk will find that if they get into a dictionary of legalese which shows them what they're looking for, then their own bullshit filters are probably going to spot quite a lot of others just as a result of that. And if they're not in your dictionary, you can then go checking them out elsewhere.
Yeah, well, another good thing as well, might seem a bit strange or that, but it's a simple way as well. When you pick it up, you need to start using logic, reason, intuition. The way you think about it. The way you read it, you need to change your way you're thinking. And the way you're thinking then, you might see things different then. You'll accept them. Then start going into what was said to me a long time ago. Into the grammar and the logic and the rhetoric and that. And more so into what I'd say, right, logic and rhetoric. If they're saying, yes, you can have his own water, providing it's managed. Right, so we all know what manage means. Everybody talks about manage. We all know what water, we know what that means. We talk about it. But water and managed, go into the grammar of that.
Yeah.
What is managed and water doing together? Managed water, why did they come up with that?
Yeah.
Why they button that into this sentence?
Might they want to make some money?
Yeah, so you go into the more reading of things then and you think, hang on, control and managing the water. Well, I have to tap here for turn that off. What do they mean by this, managing the water? Look in then to what the council do when they talk about managing the water.
Yeah.
Have you paid your water rates?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Has it got the requisite amount of medication in it?
Absolutely, yeah. Is it fluoride? Is the fluoride high enough? I think if one doesn't start to look at these things and starts walking into contracts after listening to some of this information, they must be on a heavy dose of fluoride and they're enjoying it.
Certainly, I think we must be making it clear what it is and what it is that we're giving away, and hopefully making it clear that we are giving it away as well.
Yeah.
Engaging
most things, Doc, a contract is renegotiable.
Yeah.
Enter offers. So once you've got an understanding, you've got an understanding of the words and an understanding that it's contract, you've got a clearer vision on what's being presented to you from the other side.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
And you might have a clearer vision of what you could be given away of what you wrote within your first letter and the wording that you put upon it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, because you wouldn't actually wanting to be make reference to One Planet Development or anything like that.
Absolutely, and then once control and all these kind of things come in, and that's where one should ask for a document and verify these things, because anything, if I go off to wanted to live, as we call it, I want to live life without having to answer to somebody else of what I do with my water from the ground and my production of food and stuff like that. You do it. You go off and you do it. If some people feel the need to let the local authorities, one can still do that. Look at the warden and draw it back. When you're writing off to them, with the warden you do, and you ask them for things, question for things, don't disagree with them. Don't refuse with them. Just ask them to document these things. But stick to what you originally wanted to do, and don't be telling them how much water you intend to take out of there. of what food you intend to producing, what you're going to grow, what you're not going to be doing with the food. You know, like if you didn't get rid of the food on the market, what you're going to be doing with the leftovers. It's going to be storing it. That is not really a concern of theirs.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. They obviously disagree.
Right. If any concern, they should have no concern in the first place. But if there was any sort of let's call it a concern. The only concern they should have, oh, somebody's moved into the land down there. I hope they're all right. I hope they've got access to what they need.
Now that's
what the concern should be.
Wouldn't it be great if that's the way the planning department actually operated?
But you see, that's what one should be doing to further one's life. Not questioning on these things.
And questioning is safe, isn't it? You should stick to your questions and don't stop until you get answers to them either. Because they'll try and put you off, won't they?
Stick to your questions. But some people can form and can operate within that contract system. Once you have an understanding of it. Once you understand it's a contract. Once you've an understanding of the rewards. Once you understand that you can renegotiate a contract.
It's also helpful to realise that they are the servants in this situation as well.
Well, they are the servants, but most people have accepted them as authority figures. So, yeah, if you want to bring it back to the servants, even better. Now speak to them like the master. Write to them like the master. Why are you asking for permission if you're sick? Unless you're sick, sorry. If the master is sick, if the master doesn't know how to write to us or talk to us right, well then the master must be sick. So they have to look after him. They have to tell you what's best for you. After all, they are your servant, aren't they? And servants should look after you.
yeah, I like that. That's very good.
So if the master is not sick, he must be able to speak to them properly.
Yeah.
He must have an understanding.
Yeah, on the subject of permissions, Unique Lee's put in the chat box a few whilst we were on the break. He put slaves need permissions and school children.
Absolutely. First thing kids do, as Lee had it in there, it's been said many a time, as soon as you go into school, hand in the air, can I go to the toilet?
Yeah.
Well, apart from in school or young boys or girls in school, who else? Does a teacher ask the kids to go? Can she go for permission? Oh, do you go? Back in a minute, sit there, be quiet.
Yeah. And it's one of the most natural things we need to do to be asking permission for that is an amazing piece of conditioning to pull off. And that's exactly the kind of response that's built into us in those early years and makes it so difficult for us to recognise these other things for what they are.
Well, it goes to show the fear that's being put in there in the first place without realising. Having to put your hands up and say, can I go to the toilet? Well, that's wrong. Look, if you need to go to the toilet, why are you asking, can you go? You need to go. There's a difference. Can I go? No, you can't. Yes, you can. That's them telling you, no, you can't, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Hand in the air, if you feel like it. That's being polite. I need to go to the toilet. Excuse yourself. That's what you're doing. Excuse yourself. I need to go to the toilet. You go. Now you haven't been rude or acting like that. The teacher can still carry on its business.
And it's really...
You go to the toilet, you come back in, you sit there, and then you just get on with things.
And as Pat Veldon would say, it's really as simple as that, isn't it?
Couldn't be any more simpler. back to everything.
Yeah.
Bring it back to simple. When it starts getting complicated, it's so they're trying to confuse you, so you won't have an understanding. That's all it is.
And at those points, sticking with your questions can really help because it stops that confusion from setting in.
Absolutely. When you ask certain questions, you must have an understanding of, first of all, the reason why you asked the question, and what are you looking for out of that question? Will you? If they give you an answer, will you know if the answer is right or not?
So you kind of need to know the answer already.
As good as. Even do a bit of research.
And
you
quite
must
often
have an understanding of what you're looking for in return.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you do get something served back to you, is it what you are looking for? Is it the right answer? Now, if you are writing off the most of these things and all that, usually they'll come back and if you ask them, well, why can't I bring my water to my house, bring it from the ground, bring it to my house, my dwelling, and so forth, they might come back and say, well, under this act, this legislation. When it comes to simple things like that, that's where one can just ask, document and verify this requirement.
Yeah. And that verification actually isn't available to them, is it?
No, but at least you are asking the right question in the beginning.
Mm.
No use, as we said, later on, when all these rules and regulations and you accept, oh yeah, right, manage control, and next, all of a sudden they're coming in and they're putting meters in, which is carrying radiation, poison and everything else. You're trying to get off this kind of life. Now you've got meters in, radiation. Oh, by the way, you need to top up a fluoride there. and a few other chemicals we don't know about. What you're doing with your water, that has to be added into the main grid there. You're getting charged for that. With that there, then, you will not be allowed to collect your own rainwater.
Mm.
You know, so there's so much that comes into every bit of it.
Yeah. Interestingly, it says in this says in the OPD that the majority of your water will be collected from the roofs. That's what it says. The rest of it will be gathered from round and about. But if you go looking for government advice on whether you should drink rainwater or not, you get a very interesting picture. In fact, there's all sorts of inconsistencies in this particular document with other pieces of government advice, which I'm also seeking to isolate. Here's one from Dal, Paul, which I think, again, it actually serves to demonstrate, gives another example of what we're talking about. I think it's a really good one. Thanks, Dal. It says, so, in summary, when I buy a washing machine, should I register via the enclosed postcard my details? Should I give my name? And am I submitting to a new contract? Am I limiting my options? Because in this context, those are very good questions, I think. What do you reckon? Should he fill in the postcard?
Absolutely fill in the postcard. How is other people going to gain money out of you? Give us as much information on that postcard as you can, please. Give us your phone number, your email address, because I might have something else to sell you along the way.
Yep. Yep. And they get your name too.
And now you've, where you've bought your washing machine, and now you're giving your details off somewhere else, two different corporated bodies.
Mm.
Boy, your force rights.
So you are limiting your options.
Yeah. You know, as Pa has there, because no one wants to admit liability, to shift liability about.
Yep.
And corporate businesses don't hold liability. You know, there's no man or woman punish the other side, so.
And they'll basically keep handing the liability around amongst themselves until they can land it on you?
Yeah. No, back to another thing there you just said a minute ago about reading up on the government requirements of drinking fresh water, yeah?
Yeah, drinking rainwater particularly.
Right, so if someone goes reading up that on requirements of drinking what the government says about drinking fresh water, why are you looking at what the government says you can or you can't, you see? It's back to rules, regulations.
I was looking at it because this particular document insists that that's where most of your water's going to come from, and my impression is than most government advice suggests to you that you shouldn't be drinking rainwater. I'm not doing it because I would drink. We do drink rainwater. You know, it's not a problem for me. But I looked it up because of the specific interest in this particular document. They're telling you that's where most of your water's going to come from. But if you look at other sources from the same, from broadly the same corporation, you can easily find contradictory advice. And those things might be, you could ask questions about that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Look, there's that much questions that one could ask and one should be asking.
Yeah, especially on something that's 83 pages long.
Look, forget about all the pages.
Yeah.
Forget about whether it's one page or 250 pages. First of all, most of all, and what's most important is, what are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Are you trying to achieve growing and production food for yourself? Maybe bartering with some of it. If that's what you're trying to achieve, well, stick with that. If anybody else, when you've, if you feel like it, or you feel like you, as I said, you want to involve your local council, just to say, here, look, we're down here, guys, and we're doing this, just in case you think there's someone going to set fire or, you know what I mean, or chop down the trees or destruct the area.
Yeah.
We're down here. Well, we're getting on with our life fund. We're all right. Thanks. That's all you should be basically saying.
Yeah. And then everything after that is questions.
Exactly. If they come back and start asking you, well, what kind of sports are this? Why? Why do you want to know? Ask them why. Why do you want to know what spuds I'm growing? Why do you want to know how much water I'm taking out or what I'm going to do with my rubbish? Why? We're down here, we're going to live a life and, you know, we're not going to interfere or cause harm or loss to anybody else around us.
Yeah. I do want to know what the explanation for that is in this particular case. Would you like to know what the reason for all of this is when you look at the document? It says that it provides a useful check on compliance with policy, basically. So all of the stuff, all of it, all these massive requirements that they want and all the monitoring and stuff are simply to keep a check on whether you're complying with their policies.
Absolutely. So what are their policies?
Yeah.
You know, and is our policies going to change again tomorrow and the day after?
There's a lot of room for that in this document as well. We're not going to have a chance to talk about the environmental footprint analysis, which will have to be a separate thing, but it is well malleable. I can tell you things can go up and down and decisions can be made which will seriously make a difference to your ability to perform on whatever contract it is you've given to them, and these are clearly variables right outside your control. And I mean, that's the other thing. I feel that with my experience in logistics and planning and industrial management plans and the rest, that if you put even a simple plan together, and it really can involve quite easily, normally easily predictable variables, then more or less the last thing that is going to happen is whatever it is that you planned. And the more complex your plan becomes, the more likely it is to diverge from reality. And in these circumstances, you've got a very complex plan, which in my opinion is highly likely to diverge from reality, and then you are going to be held to account for it. It makes it quite clear.
Absolutely. I can be a look within 250 pages there. Done on many wards, but I think there's actually less than the setting up of the FEMA camps.
Yeah.
You know, you're practically setting up your own FEMA camps there. That's within that document.
And
it's not even you in control. You know, so it's even better again.
And all of this in an attempt to get out from under.
Sorry?
And all of this in what is, in for these people, an attempt to get out from under.
An attempt to get out and under is right. And yet you're going into a whole new set of rules, regulations, and control system. And that's just to start up your own, if you want to call it, a community.
Yeah. Yeah. So, basically, it's not just the most important thing is to understand the words and to try and
understand,
find...
First of all, understand that it is a contract.
Yep.
Even if you've wrote off to them a 250-page or 300 pages, and they write back to you in one letter and might even ask you one simple question, that is a contract still. That there is still part of that contract. So one must look at that letter and then three or four sentences in there very carefully and have an understanding of it.
Mm. Yeah. So understand that it's a contract. Understand that the words you're looking at probably don't mean what you think they mean. But it's not just that. We need to use our intellect to comprehend, to pick the bones out of what it is that we're looking at, because that is the capacity that's going to enable us to comprehend more fully what's being said. And I think I would add to that, that if you assume that the actual reasons behind these things are either to implement control or to take money off you, and preferably both, then you'll be on to the main subject matter of most of the contracts that are going to come through your door from these people.
Yeah, it's money, control, out of your hands. As Pat has their legalese.
Yeah.
It's a contract. Contract, legalese. Legalese, enslavement, controlled. But, scenario, water meter. Right. Now look into legalese. Look for, get your water meter. The word water meter, or water, put it in legalese, acts and legislations. That's what legalese is. It equals acts and legislations. Now, if you put into any laptop or search acts and legislations on water, look at the amount of acts and legislations that come on water. Now, may it be on a private dwelling, a business, or any sort, the local river, the streams. Look at every act and legislation that is out there on water. Now that employs you as well.
Cool.
For your sip of water you wanted to take out of the ground originally, every act and legislation out there is going to come in upon that, one way or another, because you've entered into the legalese end.
And what they're trying to do is lure you into a position where these things apply to you as well as to the corporations.
Yeah. They've turned you into that. You've entered into that corporations anyway by drawing up a contract.
Mm.
You accepted the corporation. You accepted going into legalese. Contract equals acts and legislations. If you've got water, what's all the acts and legislations on that? If you've got an apple tree, look at all the acts and legislations on apples, whether it be selling apples, producing apples. That's all going to affect you one way or another.
Yeah.
If you're going to build your own dwelling, look at all the acts and legislations within building.
Mm.
That's going to affect you.
So suddenly we get to see just exactly how wide-ranging this particular document is, because, of course, you'd need to know about all of those things. And, like you say, what you're describing is things that if you're going to get involved with apples and say you're getting involved in apples, then it's not wise to do it until you've got a grip on this background material.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
And then again... If one is going to learn that, well, take 5 minutes and have an understanding of lawful.
Yeah, the difference between lawful and legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to live a lawful life or do you want to live a legalese life? Do you want the legalese coming into your private life? As in, maybe you do want to have some sort of a business down there. Right. Enter the contract within the business structure there. But if I'm at my dwelling, picking my own apples, putting my own table and all that, that is private. Yeah. Don't drag the private life into the corporated life.
Mm.
Keep them separate. do up a structure within the corporate, the business plan, whatever you plan on doing. Have an understanding of what it's about. But keep your private life.
Yeah.
So if in a corporated thing you agree to certain acts and legislations, as in like pick the apple and they're going to be sold at the market and stuff like that, do you expect that? If I brought the apple home and I give it to one of my friends, doesn't mean I owe bloody tax on it if you're into that system.
Of course, they think it does.
Well, you see, because you told them, you told them you're going to be selling apples.
Yeah.
But you didn't say, I'm going to be selling apples at a market stall. You didn't separate your private from your corporated.
Well, I believe that according to HMRC, and again, we know that this isn't actually embodied in statute as far as I know, but as far as HMRC are concerned, if somebody gives me a sack of potatoes in exchange for something I've done for them, then HMRC believe that I owe them some, whatever it is, 28% of the value of the potatoes. They do. They think that. But I agree with you. It's totally private. Nothing to do with them.
Look, if they really feel that, yeah, and aware to be true, yeah?
Yeah.
Why aren't you taking it coming down and you give them 28% of them potatoes you were given?
Wait them up,
wait till they go mouldy and give them the 28, leave the 28% up on the 2 stone or 3 stone of potatoes up on the counter all mushed up days ago.
Yeah, that would be exactly.
If you feel I owe you 28%, I'm them.
Yeah, you're welcome to them.
Do you know what I mean?
What about, here's one that that Synchro came up with. She said, you know, if we approach these people and say, look at all these things they want us to do and stuff, we could write back to them and say, look, document and verify all of these obligations, or we're quite happy to do this work, but we'll be charging you data collection services and materials, and you start billing them for all the work that you're doing on their behalf, because you don't want the bloody numbers, they want the numbers.
Yeah, well, if they're going to impose certain things upon you, back again, water meter and stuff like that. Yeah, well, not even water meter, but like things along that line. You're right. Yeah. If you want us to do this and do that, well, if you want us to do it, we will, whether it's a water meter, we'll put the water meter in ourselves. So you get one to the same spec without all the poisons. You put it in yourself. If you want a reading, so that way you're not paying on the rental, the contract of the meter on the rental. If they feel they need to have the reading of it, just to keep some sort of a record of what rain's dropping that year or something, no bother, I'll give you a reading on it, but I'll be charging you for me a bit of time to read it. You're right there, along them lines.
Yeah, because...
But providing that it's a... You've done the right things for us. So if there's a meter required, or if they feel they need to a reading for whatever bullshit, excuse the truth, whatever, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing is that, I mean, there is so much work involved in actually fulfilling what they suggest they want.
Here's a simple one. Me and Pat like them simple. Document and verify. Where the heck you can tell me how I live my life? Document and verify where you have the lawful right to tell me how to live.
And the point is that they don't have that unless you give it to them, and using the kind of processes you're describing, you're not giving it to them, so they don't have it.
If they come into anything about your water or you can't grow this, grow that, document and verify to me where a man hasn't got the right to food.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't go saying growing apples, growing it. Document and verify where a man or a woman hasn't got a right to water. Document and verify where a man or a woman hasn't got a right to battle.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And then back to within, if you're doing a business, you're doing a contract, a willingly, honorably contract, the stuff that you don't agree with, if it's not something that you've proposed and it's something that they're trying to throw in as a clause, ask them to document and verify it.
Clause, there's another good one.
Well, we all know the Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, they've got their claws into you.
Well, yeah, but Santa comes bearing gifts as well, you see.
Yeah. I bet he's probably a trademark too.
Oh, he's a double trademark, so he is. You've got Santa and then you've got Claus.
Yeah.
Santa from St. Nicholas and Claus from, I don't forget that one. we won't go into that one, Adam.
No. But yeah. No, that's another whole story. Dale's put another good one in the chat box there. Would your correspondence returned? Who are you? Cover most of these offers.
Absolutely.
Because asking who they are is actually really good, isn't it?
Yeah, who are they? It's back to who has the right to tell you how to live?
Yeah.
Who has the right to question you? Unless, obviously, if I loss, harm, injury to you, yeah, you get questioned. Apart from that, I've no right to ask you about your life.
Mm-mm. One above and none below.
Exactly. And again, there's two ways. If you want to live your life, what we'd say, the sovereign life. Live an individual life. That's, you can put it like that, for people who wouldn't have an understanding of the sovereign. If you want to live an individual life, there's nothing stopping you. But you must learn not to be using legalese and not to be getting tied into legalese and contracts and stuff like that. So therefore, to live an individual life, or maybe sovereign life, you must have an understanding of what you're trying to get away from. And that's contracts, the structure of how they contract you into the life you're trying to get away from. And that can be all the way down to answering them about how you're even going to draw the water from your ground. Or yeah. I'm going to turn me apples into apple pies.
Yeah.
You've opened dialogue, you've opened contract.
Mm.
If you haven't got that understanding of how to live that life, but you have an understanding, a reasonable understanding of contracts and what we're talking about now, and you still choose to make contracts and go that sort of line, well, one can still keep the contract within his control. It is your contract that's being offered there in the first place. And like, if you offer them a contract, and they're asking you anything, like your worth or this, that, or the other, document and verify. As I am happy enough with my contract that's in place.
Yes.
In other words, my contract that I offered you, I'm happy enough with that. I've told you what I'm going to do. I told you I'm going to dwell there with my family. I'm going to produce. I'm going to have food there. We're going to have our own water there, and we're going to have a life. And we're not going to go out and cause loss, harm, damage to anybody else. We're not going to be destructing the area or anything like that. So, I'm happy enough with what I've told yous. Yous document and verify where I need to even tell yous anything else, let alone what yous are telling me I have to do.
Yeah. I'm happy with the contract as it stands. It's a very good one. I like that one.
Because we have too many people have a habit of going into explaining then what we're going to do with water, what we're going to do here. It is a habit, and it's from back to schooling.
Yeah, yeah, quite
so. People need to go back to before they went to school. When you were a child and asking the questions. or go into a situation that you don't understand, which obviously, if you're looking at it and you don't understand it, it's a contract in the first place. Well, the simple thing to do, like anything in that situation, is ask the question.
Mm. Yeah. Why? Like kids, like children, why?
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 They say, don't touch that. Why?
Yeah.
Explain to me why.
Yeah. And if you are giving them an explanation, they'll just say why again. Look, I need to slip off for another wee break, so shall we have another couple of tunes and then come back and have a chat with how we might approach this situation?
Absolutely, yeah, go for it.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much, Paul. It's really great chatting with you. I'm enjoying it, and there's good feedback in the chat box as well.
No, likewise, I'm enjoying myself. As I said, it's nice to come in and have conversations than one coming on and try to explain it. At least you can give scenarios and questions, and it opens it all up for both of us learning. Even me within this, I'm learning.
Yeah, and I'm quite grateful to the One Planet Development document for doing that.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted to do it because I've never seen a document from the FEMA camps before.
No, and effectively volunteering to put yourself into one that you're designing yourself. It's like a friend of mine says. She says, this sort of activity is simply feng shuiing your prison cell. It's not getting you anywhere. And on that subject, we'll play Dick Gawken, I think, and No Gods and Precious Few Heroes. It's a marvellous lyric, folks. We'll be back with you in 7 minutes or so, apparently. Here we go.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Alabama 3 there and Mansion on the Hill. How long we got to wait until we get a key to the Mansion on the Hill? Well, I'd rather have a shed on the hill and it won't need to have a key. Don't forget, folks, coming up in just under an hour, Freeman Jack's coming on and he's going to be talking about quantum mechanics or the conservation of the weirdness principle. Conservation of the weirdness principle sounds like a fairly good description of most of Jack's shows, but that's his first new broadcast for a few weeks, and he's coming on about midnight when I've finished chatting with Paul Cotty, who's still with us. Hiya, Paul. Oh, I forgot your button again. Bloody hell. I'm just, there we go. I keep forgetting this green button. Sorry about that. Yeah, Paul is still with us, and he answered, but you couldn't hear him because I'm a dick.
I'm still here, folks. Yeah.
Very good. So, when I was talking, because, I mean, look, when I first looked into all of this, I was talking to Pat Veldon on the show, and I suggested to him that having read this document, I was not minded to have anything to do with it whatsoever, and that I felt I'd like to experiment with getting a patch of land, putting a fence around it, and a lockable gate with a no trespass sign on it, and then doing what I want there, and simply ignoring anybody who comes and tries to tell me to do anything else. And Pat seemed to think that was a pretty valid approach. What do you reckon?
Absolutely. If you get a piece of land, it's your land to choose what you do to it. And there's many things you can do outside the corporated structure. Great, as you said there, yeah, like back in the old days, one would border off their boundaries, whether it be wire or a fence or whatever. And no trespass. Simple. No trespass.
And that inside technically...
inside that boundaries then, well, you're not lost time damage to anybody, so nobody should be interfering in what you do.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing within that boundaries would be... the way I'd see it, there is certain things within that boundaries one would must watch or on. If you're doing something that is related to the structure you're trying to get away from. You know, one could be careful that they don't drag themselves into that structure. Whereas if you're inside there producing food, you feel like doing a bit of bartering, and you have to go outside them gates then, don't you?
You do, correct.
You know, so one must be careful that you don't get dragged in upon that structure then. Because even outside them gates, if you get dragged into that structure, that will fall back inside the gates. So it's not just what the way you live your life in there, it's when you go outside them gates as well.
And that also is down to the same thing, isn't it? It's having It's having a bit of a mastery of the words that are being used by the people who might want to drag you in, and it's having the understanding that you need to ask them questions rather than make claims.
Yeah, and having a bit of have recognition to what's going on around you. Have recognition to what is going on. Once you've got an understanding of the contract, if you've an understanding that you want to go inside, you want to get a bit of land, you want to live your life, and you want to live off the land, well, then you have to have an understanding of the reason why you want to do that. What you're trying to get away from.
Correct, yes. That's right. Most important, I think. Most important.
So when you understand that, now understand, right, so you know, because it's a bad structure, it's manipulated, it's controlled, manipulated, it's the false structure.
And it's causing harm, loss and damage on a wide-ranging scale on a daily basis.
It's causing hardship upon our lives. So one wants to get away from it because the system is causing hardship upon my life. I can go over here and I can have a life. So you must go over and live your life. As I said, you go inside them gates, then you're going into their structure. If you go down to a marketplace to barter with your food, you're going into a corporate structure there because they're all trading, you see, and they wouldn't understand the if they're all trading, they're all within a structure of license and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're amongst them, they're going to assume and presume that you're just like them and you're trading. So therefore you must have a license and obviously your food must be tested and all that kind of stuff. So you must have an understanding of the situation you're in, of why you're there then, as in, I'd be just there to barter. I'm not there selling food, I'm bartering. What am I bartering? Well, I'm bartering this, that, them things there. which of them would you like? What have you got for offer? You know, so you're making a private contract there, just me and you. If anybody comes over to me and, have you got a... Oh, are you selling things here? Or, well, no, I'm bartering away here. Like, would you like to barter? Or is there any things here? If they start questioning you about anything else, well, straight away, he's not looking for anything. If he's not looking for something, a bit of bartering with what I have, well, what's he doing standing there? He's trying to contract you in some way. So you just tell him, private. Private, private. And he actually just say, that's private, that's private, that's private.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Yeah.
Why? A bit like that film, are we there yet?
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to like it after a while when you keep going, why?
They do eventually kind of get tired and wander off, in my experience.
But again, he might start threatening you with local authorities and stuff like that, and start trying to explain to you, well, you shouldn't be here unless you have a license or a trade number or this, that, or the other. Turn around to him and just say, why?
Yeah.
Or if you want to cut it off in the beginning, document and verify it. Document and verify that.
Yeah. In a way, why is asking for the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But document and verify are particular words that work well for us.
I am here. I am private. What I am doing is private. End of. If you want to know what, document and verify that. I am private. End of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you keep, what you're doing is bartering. But as I said, the reason why I'm saying that, because again, it's contracting. He's trying to contract you. You're outside your gates of the life you're trying to live. So you've come into their system. So one must be careful of not being caught in a contract there.
What about this business that you have the right to remain silent, or alternatively put, you are not actually obliged to talk to anybody? Could you just stay quiet?
Well, you... Again, what was the first part of that?
That you have the right to remain silent.
Right. So what's your right again?
To remain silent.
What was the rest of it after that?
The rest of it...
Obliged?
The rest of it after that was you're not obliged to talk to anybody. I just went silent for a bit.
Wait, I didn't hear the word rights being mentioned again after that. You have the right... You have the obligation. But what happened to rights all of a sudden? You have the right to remain silent. I will take that right, thank you.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even tell him, because straight away I'd act upon that. You have the right to remain silent.
So you remain silent.
Now I'd shrug my shoulders.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
He just told you had the right to remain silent, so stay silent. If you do that and have to die, it's because you choose it. You chose it. You're going to receive whatever they have dishing out then. Mm.
And they don't have the right to make you talk to them.
Well, I didn't have to come on here tonight, did I?
No, you didn't, my God. No, it cost me a fortune.
But I had the right to ask for more money. I accepted the cup of coffee that you offered me, and I come on. But I had the right not to come on. You had, look, I asked a question a long time ago, and it started me into a lot of this. I asked a simple thing about rights. How do I get me right to this, or how do I find out my right to that? And the answer was, you have your rights. So you have all your rights. And I was thinking, I'd have scratched my head for ages. I have all my rights. And then I thought to myself, yeah, right, I have all my rights. That I understand. I have all my rights. So, if I've got all my rights, and they're telling me I can't do this or that or the other, how do I tell them I've got all my rights? Hang on, I've got my rights. It took a while before it sunk in.
By exercising them.
You have your rights. You have all the natural living rights anybody or anything could have. As you said there, it's a choice whether you choose to use them or not. You have all your rights. Your rights are yours. And outside that, what others presume as rights are not rights. That acts on legislations. Rule of law.
And they rob you. They rob you of your rights.
Exactly. Well, you see, they trick you with this thing rights. That's all trickery. Human rights and this rights and them rights. You have all the rights you ever need to live life. Others try and push things upon you, upon your rights. Now you think you have to answer to them. And one of the first things we ask them is, or we might say to them, I don't have to do that because I know my rights. If one had a true understanding of his rights, why the heck are you telling your man, I know my rights, I don't have to do that? You keep walking, or you keep doing what you do in life.
Yeah.
One of your rights is, if I don't explain to you my actions, if I haven't lost harm, damage here, and I don't explain anything about my actions, what I do in the day, night, or anything else, that's me using my rights. That's what that is. It's not because I don't want to break my rights not talking to you, or I'm scared to give you the wrong answer. Because I'm using my rights, and it's my right to live my life and not talk to you if I don't want to. Whether you got a bloody uniform on, a lump of feckin' horse's ass sitting on your head with coals on and a big black cloth around you, I don't care.
Yeah, I remember once I had it explained to me once with, cats. You got a cat that you don't know the first thing about, and it's wandering down the road, and you go, here, pussy, 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 and it might turn around and look at you, and then it just looks the other way and walks on.
And that's the truth. He'd go with his business.
Yeah, being a cat.
A cat doesn't know what that he's called a cat. A dog doesn't know he's called a dog. They've no understanding of words. They've understanding of sound. And that's what we have, is an understanding of sound. It's what we we received our sound and our perspective of it, then I might have the same receiving of it as you might have. Or I might have an understanding of that sound a bit different now.
That's another great example, actually, because when I first started working with Synchro some 20 years ago, the closest, we've never had an argument, you know, and the closest thing we had to arguments were, in the beginning, extremely animated discussions about difficult subjects, but always we found out that the problem was not actually a disagreement on the subject per se. What we were disagreeing on was the fact that she felt a word meant something different from me, from my meaning of it, and we hadn't spotted that. So the discussion could go on for ages and ages and ages and be really quite animated, but the actual challenge was simply the fact that we didn't understand what the other person was trying to say. We didn't comprehend what the other person was trying to say.
I would have been like that many times before 2 years ago, before I started learning. For the first time, before I started learning in my life, and learning as in opening my mind up again, the way things that you think and all that. So, as you said there, perfect example, done it many times. You nearly end up in an argument over a simple conversation. You're both agreeing on it. Well, look back, right, what are we not agreeing on then? If they say, yeah, but that's what I mean, and you're going, yeah, but that's what I mean, but what, but this, that, or the other. And they're going, yeah, but like, blah, blah, blah. So you're both trying to explain the same thing. Look back, look at the word, and say, right, what are we disagreeing here on?
Excellent, excellent.
So when did you find out, right, we're disagreeing on the way we've just said that? I know what you said, but it's just when you say, you are saying it this way or with that word in it. Right. Now check up then. Why are we disagreeing on something? We understand the concept of the both of us, but what's making us disagree there? Simple word, but in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because you both had a different definition of that word.
That's it, exactly.
Or an understanding of what that word was.
And that's the essence of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and now you're after having an argument and everything else over one word, the definition of it, but it's brought in every other subject that you started off talking about.
Yeah.
When that wasn't what, like, and at the end of you go, yeah, I agree on it, but down to a simple word.
And so in that kind of situation, you can move a long, long way from the subject that you're actually interested in, which is the nature of whatever the problematical word is. And that is really quite a fine allegory for the way we stand vis-a-vis all of these various corporations.
Well, absolutely. Look, they use the same system within the courts, wards. Magical thing altogether within that court system. The barrister might say something to the judge would say to you, did this person, that person do this? Where is it home? Where is it this property? Where that? Well, he's after taking off so many of your rights within saying them words, and you're near enough if agreeing to everything he's saying by answering back. Now, even if you're disagreeing and saying, no, that person didn't do that, or they weren't at home, or this. Now, apart from you making a statement of claim that you'd have to prove, well, at home means one thing to them as it does to you, the person. So whoever you are talking about, they're taking away his rights there. They're bringing him into legalese and by using the person and that. Now, whereas without the legalese structure and someone tried a contract, was that man at his dwelling the other day? If we were asking a simple question without a legalese structure, was that man at his dwelling the other day? Did he meet the woman afterwards? You know, simple things like that is different to, was that person at home? Did he meet a female after? And did the couple go off? That's pure legalese talking there.
Yeah.
That's taking away the man's rights, the woman's rights, and even the rights of what they were doing at the time, nearly.
Yeah. I remember I once looked up the word question in a copy of Black's I've got lying around the place. And it said, quite simply, for question, it said, a query addressed to a witness.
It really is amazing when you look into some of it, isn't it?
It is. It is.
The warden. It is good. I find it fascinating at times.
I've always been fascinated by words, and it's in a way, it's a bit of a prize to find that they're actually a lot more fun than you thought they were, because there's a lot more to them when you look at them this way.
Wait, do you see what I find more fascinating? Like, see a lot of the big words, right? Just assumption and presumption. I'm just looking there in the chat. I'm picking offhand, right?
Yeah.
I know them words. I have an understanding of them now. Dependence and stuff like that. But, right, I'd see big words because I'd say many times reading and spelling wouldn't be the best. Big words. I'd mispronounce and I'd... To me, it's confusion by trying to read it. I don't have an understanding of it, so I see confusion.
Yeah.
And I expect confusion from that word then. Now, if I look at a small word, as we said, the person, the home, and stuff like that, simple little words that most of us can read. But look at the bloody depth and the depth of them words, the meanings of them, and how much they can take off you.
Yeah.
Never mind the big fancy words. That's got complex written all over them as soon as you try and read them. Look at the simple words that we think we have an understanding of.
Yes, and as Vin says, has said many, many times, it's the really small words that can be especially treacherous, words like as.
Absolutely.
I remember that the judge at Birkenhead, I think he said as he left the court under... You know, police guidance, he said, I have been acting as a judge here for 15 years or whatever it was. Which was a very clever and specific thing to say. He's not claiming to be a judge, he was saying he was acting as a judge, and that's a completely different thing.
Well, it's absolutely, acting as a judge. You know, and again, if you put yourself in a witty mind... A witty person. Think when some people are nice and witty, yeah? I'd see myself sometimes as a witty person. I'd be quick at giving an answer back. Now, years ago, I'd be quick at giving an answer back. I'd say the truth, might ask the truth, but I'm being witty and having a joke and a laugh. An acting judge, years ago, what's he acting about? But you wouldn't ask him that in the court in case you got in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, think of that, yeah. What is he acting about? But why don't you bloody act him? What do you mean by acting?
Yes.
Why not ask him it? But ask him it in the right way, without being witty and cheeky.
Needs to be respectful,
doesn't it? Or being witty and having a laugh about it. Now I'm being serious. Well, see, when we were witty and joking about things and certain things that we'd clock onto, maybe them things are very benefited... are beneficial to us, bringing it back into a simple way. Hang on. Who does he mean acting, George? Well, bring that in and say, think to yourself, well, I'm going to ask him that. I'm going to ask him in a different way now. That it doesn't look like I'm having a laugh and a joke with him. And get him to explain why he's an acting judge and why he's not a real judge. So you bring it into a nice question within a conversation that you're just going to ask him. But then again, when you're asking them, have an understanding why you're asking them. The first reason you're asking them is because he just did say acting. That's the first thing you clocked onto. So if he's acting, he's not the judge. And you're looking for the reason why he's not the judge. If he's not the judge, well, question anything after that. Is the court real? Is the man over to me left or the right? That's doing all the roaring or shouting or the making the claims. Yeah. Is anything real in here?
Yeah.
Again, it's back to the acquiescence of things. If you don't ask it in the first place, you've let it go by, you've accepted it. Simply, you've accepted it, the judge did. And you didn't ask the question. Now you've accepted it.
Yeah. And if you do ask the question to start with, that tends to prevent things from going any further quite often.
Absolutely. Myself and Ray was having a chat last week. I came across a thing called Quo Warranto. And I never heard it before, Quo Warranto. Now, I hope someone out there, I know, like, Del might have a good explanation or explaining of Quo Warranto. Again, when I'm reading into some of it, it's got words that I find hard at the moment to read, let alone understand, if you know what I mean, me reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see difficulty. But again, I'll break it down to simplicity. But what I see, what I read was reading about this Quo Warranto and when it was used. There was a man sent to jail. When he was in jail, he learned about this thing called a Quo Warranto. He wrote off to the judge, he bought in for an appeal and everything else. The Quo Warranto was more or less asking where the judge was it more or less it's like asking the judge to document and verify, as in, if you're a judge, have you got your oath with you?
Yeah.
And how have you got jurisdiction over me? It's like asking the question in the very beginning. Yeah?
Yeah.
No, it didn't work for him. Why? Why do you think it wouldn't have worked for him?
Or
why did it not work for him? Because he's in jail doing his time. Acquiescence. He right. accepted it.
Too late to ask the question.
Bang on.
Okay.
He went in there and started studying a few law books, legalese. Came across something. He thought, whoa, well, too late. You acquiescent. You accepted he was the judge in the beginning. You accepted his oath of office. You accepted the court. You accepted everything.
You accepted the sentence.
Absolutely. Now do your time. And that's why it's so important to ask the right questions and have an understand of the reason why. And things can be simple enough. Again, if you're in a court, well, you must have a judge, you must have a court, you must have barristers. But it's just asking, is it a court? Is it a judge? And is it a real barrister? Don't be taking things for granted the whole time.
Yeah. That's very good.
So it is. Assumptions, we take everything for granted. We assume he's a judge, we presume. We take it for granted because we don't question. We don't question some things because we don't see where it might be wrong. Sometimes we don't question because we probably because we haven't got an understanding of what even to question.
I still remember that the big sign that was up on the wall in the first episode of The Prisoner, and it said simply on it, it said, "Questions are a burden to others." So look, we're coming up to the end of the show and playing some tunes. Let's just return a minute to this imaginary piece of land we've got. I don't find it difficult, as you know, to imagine that we can kind of walk on there, keep people out, and by our conduct and correct use of words, keep them off our back, because it's all private. What happens if the piece of land you take over has a couple of, say, functional businesses on it that are already kind of relating with the corporate world, as it were, and, say, a couple of planning permissions that have been okayed, have already got their, like, footings in and all that kind of stuff, so you're already kind of engaged on that basis as well.
Right. It's not an entity, it's not a dead entity or a functioning entity until it's registered. So basically, if there is a machinery that can be used if you are producing your own food for whatever reason, yeah?
Yeah.
For you to say there's a business on it within the corporate world, it ain't a business until it becomes a so-called entity, as in you must register and you must give it a name.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's what we call a dead entity out there in the living world, if you may call it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a corporate business, but until it's registered, then you're given that entity life. You're given that whole structure system.
What if these businesses are already working and therefore already registered?
Now, is there people in there? Are they walking away?
No, we'll assume that there's none of the people left in there because they've all gone and somebody else is coming along.
Right, so then it's not a registered functioning business, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all it is machinery.
Empty room.
It's a room with machinery in it. It's just like you go into the shed and a shovel.
Yeah.
If you go into the shed and there's a shovel there and there's spuds out the back in the field, that doesn't mean you've got a business, does
it? It is what you say it is or don't say it is, the business.
It is what you want it to be.
So you can be...
See, if you want it to be a piece of machine doing a bit of work, like a shovel goes in the ground and does work, so well and good. That's what it is. It's a piece of machine doing work. And there's a building, it's a structure, it's sheltered. Well, that's all being planning permission and everything else. It's there, it's grand.
Brilliant.
It's only if you go along and you register it as a registered business, which means now license, control, and control of everything that's producing them.
Yeah. But we should perhaps bring to people's attention, I know PIR people will be well familiar with this, but other people who might be listening in for the first time, it might be helpful to point out that to register something is to hand over superior rights of guardianship or title.
Absolutely, and fair play to you, that's a very good thing to be pointing out as well, though. And that's why you keep it in your own hands. Look, somebody comes in, why is somebody going to be coming in the first place if you're taking it on to live your own life and you don't wish anybody to come in, you've got no trespass? Right, I'm in there and I'm growing my tomatoes, so I'm picking out my tomatoes, I go into my shed that's already there beforehand, happy days, someone has provided it for me. Within that, does a piece of machinery, and it'll compress me tomatoes for me. Happy days, that's even better. Saves a little walk for me now, speeds things up again.
Put them to
work. Where the heck do I want to tell somebody else what I'm doing with this machine?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
If you start boiling eggs in your kettle, would you run off and tell somebody, oh, I haven't got a kettle anymore, I've got an egg boiler now?
Yeah.
you can walk it with their, going into their corporated system is basically what we're really trying to hit on here.
Yeah,
you can go in there and you can create a structure without going into their corporated business, as in if there is machinery in there walking it, because it's walking it within your own private life.
So effectively, we are talking about stepping into a position which makes us a player rather than a play piece.
Yeah. And what are you playing? You're playing your part of the way you want to live your life, not a playing piece as in somebody else putting you where they think you should be in life, or taking you back a couple of steps either way.
Yeah. So we could in that case, we figure that we could get away with proper conduct and correct use of language. We could get away with the land and with the businesses. Now, what about...
Well, you see, that's where you have to stop saying businesses.
Get away as well.
Yeah. Business, you need to stop using the word business.
Yeah.
Take that out of the vocabulary.
I'll just slap my wrist. Hold on.
Write it down on a piece of paper and burn that word. Forget it. It's gone.
Brilliant.
Keep that business out of that.
Yeah.
What you are doing is productive. You are doing something productive and you are doing a bit of bartering. When you need to go outside the gates and into the other world. Or maybe some of them people might come into you and barter, because then you're private even more so, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe at around the front of the gates at the weekend, you might have all your what you've produced as in food, vegetables, you know, what's natural, and you might barter around there. Let the locals know, come here, look, if you've got any stuff that we need or... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You come along and you do your bartering there, whether it be for bloody lumps of metal or, as I said, a Bramberry pie that you haven't made yourself.
Yeah.
Do the bartering there. It's private, isn't it?
Yeah. So what about the imaginary two buildings that we've got planning permission for from the previous whatever inhabitants.
Well, and we wouldn't say, right, we take the planning permission area, say. You've got two existing buildings, yeah?
Or the foundations for them.
Well, the foundations are in, or if the buildings
that's
are
right.
Up.
So it started effectively, but you don't yet have the buildings.
Well,
so that process is, if you like, already kind of engaged with the planning authorities and stuff. Do you just carry on your own sweet way like you would with everything else?
There's a nice little way there, sort of was. If I wasn't, again, if I was only learning this off, if I'm at the point I'm at now, say, if it was that situation, what I'd do there, or a situation I'd see is, I'd build a barn. The animals have a right to shelter.
Yeah.
You see, you don't need any this planning permission for the animals have the right to shelter. So I'd build a nice big barn, because I want to keep the hay and stuff in there, straw and stuff for the animals. Maybe I might live in the top of that barn myself. I might have instead of a penthouse apartment, a barn house apartment.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm living in there with my animals, just like Jesus and Mary. Having that little fella, do you know what I mean? They're in with the animals.
Yeah.
They couldn't get charged rent then, you see. They didn't commit to any legalese or legislations. They probably didn't have to register the sham then. But the point is, you're living amongst the animals then. You can have everything within that structure, can't you?
Yeah.
You can also have the heat within that structure. Build maybe the straw bales around your living structure, which will all help with heat and that. Certain part of the barn could be a living structure, you know, within the hay bales and a few plants or boards the other side or wherever it may be. There is a way of living within that structure and living comfortable in that.
Mm. Very good.
By using your imagination, what can I use within that barn?
Yeah.
You have to remember, there's an awful lot of warm materials and all natural.
Yeah.
So you're not building any... The only dwelling there is a dwelling of your family dwelling and for the animals. You're all entitled to it, a rear shelter over your head.
Yep. One last question, I think, from Pat Veldon. It's a good question, and I'd like to know if you think it would be applicable in the conditions that we're talking about, and that is, who is Mr. or Mrs. Planning Authority?
Absolutely. Yep. Who is Mr. or Mrs. Planning Authority? Verify and document the obligation.
Yeah, brilliant.
You know, I know, and that's back to the reason why I'm saying, great for us to have an understanding of most of it, and some of the stuff we've chatted about tonight as in document and verify. If people get to the understanding of that, brilliant. It will help them an awful lot of way, a lot in life, and in certain situations. But if you don't have a fully understanding of all this, yeah, there is simple little things. If I wanted to build a house, and I could ask someone to document, verify, where I might have to do any of this. If I don't have a deep understanding of that, yeah, well, everybody has an understanding of build a barn. The animals have a right to be in the barn. Well, if the animals have a right to be in a barn that you don't need planning permission to, I have a right to be in there as well, living with my animals, to look after my animals.
Yeah.
So build yourself a nice structure within that.
Yeah.
And it'll also save you a lot of money and everything else with the heat from the bales of straw and that gathered around it.
As well as the heat from the animals.
Absolutely. Do you know what I mean? Everything within each other. But again, you know, like reasonable size barn, certain section. You don't want the actual farm life interfering with your bit of home private life again. You don't want a sheep sticking his head in the window when you try to go to sleep.
No. Well, look, that's been really great, Paul. Thank you very much for joining me and coming through all of this with me. I know it's been a bit basic in places, but I've really enjoyed it, and I've learnt quite a lot from that. And thank you very much for being there, mate.
Yeah, no, I absolutely enjoyed the chat. And for what you're saying there, basics in places, it's the basics where most people overlook.
Yeah.
And if you don't think, that's the thing, is you're overlooking the basics. And the basics is paperwork, contract. Look into things from then on. Have a different perspective of things. Doc, I enjoyed the chat. Absolutely brilliant. And I did learn a lot myself. So I'll just say thanks again. Thanks to the listeners. And a good night from me.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Paul. And of course, people who enjoyed this chat with Paul, he has his own show after Pat Veldon's Scotland is Free on Monday nights between 11 o'clock and midnight. And I thoroughly recommend that you don't miss one of those. I'm going to leave Delamitri with the final words because he's quoting from the Bible for us, which is really great. And this is for the planning authorities. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measures ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" And with One Planet Development, that is an absolutely killer question. So you've been listening to Dr. Rock's radio show with me chatting with Paul Cotty about contracts and the One Planet Development and land and all of that. I'll be back next week. This was show 199. Next week is show 200. And I'll be joined by Greg Sams, who was the progenitor of the veggie burger and author of a book called The State is Out of Date, We Can Do It Better, and another book called The Son of God. So I'm anticipating a great show next week. We've got about 9 minutes of music coming up, followed by Freeman Jack doing his quantum weirdness thing. I'll be back with you next week. Thanks a lot to Paul. Thanks to PIR for letting me be here still. And thanks to everybody in the chat box who's just really been brilliant tonight. And to all the people that are living now listening to the podcast. I'm going to play out with The Damned and some Blues Brothers. And I'll see you all again next week. Thanks, Paul. Thanks to you all. See you then.